This Hashem Yisbarek. Today's daf is Pei Gimel in the Sefes Yevamos. It is the 884th daf in Shas. We are going to pick up where we had left off on the bottom of Pei Beis on the Beis, and we're going to continue discussing the halachos of an androgynous in terms of his status of marrying somebody that we have learned in the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, that androgynous in terms of the halachos of marriage is considered a male and should marry a woman. And then the Gemara is going to give us different descriptions, halachic categories of how to look at an androgynous on Pei Gimel Amid Aleph. Then we are going to get involved with the halachos of Harkava, the halachos of grafting, particularly the grafting of trees, particularly grafting for Halacha Lamaisa here in Arzeinu HaKadosha, grafting during the year of Shemitah, and of course, at that time it's prohibited, but prior to Shemitah, a month before Shemitah, on the base, on Pei Gimel base, we're going to go back to the halachos of Tumtum and Androgynous, vis-a-vis the halachos of Yibum and Chalitza. After all, we are in Maseches Yevamos, and then we're going to discuss them in regards to Tuma as well. Let's Bezer Hashem begin, Pei Beis on the Beis. The Gemara's question, six lines from the bottom, V'hame diktani seif Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Our Gemara is going back to the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we had all the way on Pei Aleph, Amid Aleph, in regards to an androgynous. Rabbi Yochanan says that androgynous is able to eat truma and feed his wife truma, as well as the chazay and shok. Reish Lakish doesn't consider an androgynous a full-fledged man, that if the truma and the chazay shok are dine doraisa, then he cannot feed it to his wife. Asks our Gemara, Hamidiktani Sefer Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, androgynous chayov nalav skiva. We learned in the Sefer of the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Amid Aleph that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that an androgynous is chayiv on skila kizachar michlal. But what does that seem to indicate? The Tanakama Sfukim Misafkale had a suffix in regards to an androgynous, and he did not hold that an androgynous that commits a sexual avera that is chayiv skila like a man. In the case, if he would be a man, he gets skila. Why? Because we don't consider him entirely like a man. So that's a kasha. Rabbi Yochanan answers the Gemara, Bein l'mar, bein l'amar, mifsha pshitalei. Both according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakama, androgynous is entirely considered a man according to Rabbi Yochanan. Ika beinayu skila mishnei mekamos. But they're arguing in the Mishnah whether he gets skila both as a male and as a female, or only as a male. In other words, even the Tanakama holds that he be chayiv skila in the case of a sexual aver that is chayiv skila. Demar savar chayiv nala skila mishnei mekamos. Umar savar kizachar. According to the Tanakama, let's say he was mezana with the androgynous, let's not call him. The androgynous was mezana with a female that's punishable by skila. Then the androgynous gets skila according to the Tanakama. And if he's mezana with the androgynous is mezana with a female, then the androgynous gets skila like a male. Umar sover Rabbi Eliezer holds kizachar. He's entirely a zachar. Amarav lesa lemasnisim mikmei brisa. Does our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi, that says that androgynous gives his wife truma to eat, does that stand up in face of a brisa? On to Pei Gimel Rav, the son Rabbi Yosemer, androgynous bury you bifnei atzmahu. V'lo ichriya bo chachon mzachem nekeva. This, by the way, is how the Rambam paskins. The teaching of Rabbi Yossi in a brisa is Rabbi Yossi holds that androgynous is considered a bury you bifnei atzmahu. And therefore, that would seem that he cannot give his wife to eat truma, because Rabbi Yossi was Mesupak, as Rashi explains on the top couple of lines. Adarab asks the Gemara, how do you know this Brisa wins the Halacha? Leisa, the Brisa Mekmei Masnisen. The Brisa should be pushed away by our Mishnah, that we see in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi considers him like a full Zachar. Answers the Gemara, Midishavki, Rabbi Yossi, Lebarzuge. The fact that Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is with Rabbi Shimon, and he abandons Rabbi Shimon. In the Brisa, we only have Rabbi Yossi's name. Shmami Nohadar Bey, we see that he was Choser. And as we mentioned, we see the Rambam paskens this way, that androgynous is considered a berya bifnei atzma. Ushmuel amar les lebaisa mikmei mesnisen. Shmuel says that we ignore the Braisa due to our Mishnah. And the Gemara now questions, either Rabbi Lissa or Sisa mikmei de Braisa. Why is it that we don't reject the Mishnah due to the Braisa? Explains the Gemara, because Shmuel held that you have to be choshesh for the das yachid, and therefore we have to be stringent and not consider like a man as being choshesh for a das yachid. Rashi points out that Shmuel is choshesh for the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who's a das yachid as well. And the Gemara now is questioning, so why over here don't we say that Shmuel is choshesh for the das yachid of the Braisa? And so the Gemara, hani mili kilo misakra masnisen. When is Shmuel choshesh for a das yachid? That's when the das yachid doesn't undermine the Mishnah. Then Shmuel is not choshesh, and therefore Shmuel follows the position of our Mishnah, and our Mishnah says he's considered a full androgynous. The teaching is that we follow the position of Rabbi Yossi when it comes to both androgynous and when it comes to grafting. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel has another couple of places where we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Bikoshi, we will explain later on, that means that someone has difficulty giving birth. Ubikidush, in regards to someone who causes his friend's produce to become klayim, which we'll also discuss. Androgynous, hadamar. Androgynous is the case that we said above, where you had either Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, who says androgynous is considered full zachar, or Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa. Harkava, what's the case of grafting? This now we learn in Mishnah and Shvius, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Ein noitin vein mavrichin vein markivin, Erev Shvius. Noitin is to plant, and mavrichin and markivin are types of grafting. You can't do any planting. Pachos mishlosh miyam lefnei Rosh Hashanah. 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Most poskim explain that that's because when it comes to planting trees, so the trees, their roots only begin to get stuck in the ground and are considered entirely planted in the ground 30 days after they've been placed into the ground. If that's so, so then when you plant 30 days before Shavuos, you're causing it to grow, to be planted on Shavuos itself. And if you violate this rule, then you have to uproot the tree. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the amount of time that we said, and he says it takes at max 3 days, and therefore you don't need 30 days. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Imrim, Shtei Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, hold 2 weeks. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Avul, Adivei, Amar Shloshim, Tzarech Shloshim, Vishloshim. The man who says you need 30 holds you need 30 plus 30. Rashi explains that, as we said above, that it takes 30 days for it to grab hold the roots, and then there's another requirement of Tosefes Shvius itself. Says Gemara, and those who say that it takes 30 days for it to 3 days for it to take root. So then you have the 30 days of Tosefes Shemitah plus another 3 days. Divrei Omer Shtei Shabbos, Tzarech Shtei Shabbosos U'Shloshim. And our halacha is that it takes 30 days to root plus another 2 Shabbosos, as Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yossi said. U'Shmuel Omer, Shmuel also add, we follow Rabbi Yossi, B'Koishi V'Kiddush. Koishi Desnan. There's a Mishnah in Nida. Kamiyei Kishuya. In the time of Chazal, when a woman was not expecting her period, if she saw a dam, then that was called dam ziva. If she sees it three straight days, so then in such a case she becomes a zava, and she needs to wait 7 clean days. What about the blood that a woman sees when she's pregnant that is not during the time that she's expecting her period, but on the other hand, she's not only pregnant, she's in her 9th month and getting ready to give birth? Then the bleeding could very well be not be halachically the blood of a zava, but rather the blood from pregnancy that would not be metame. So how do we calculate what is considered part of pregnancy blood? Kamiyei kishuya. Rameir oimer oi arboim oi chamishim yom. 40 or 50 days, before her birth is all considered dam kishui and is not considered dam of a zava. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Dayachachi, you only give her a month's time. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Amar, ain't kishui yos mishesh abasos. Rabbi Yosi says, and Rabbi Shimon, that we only calculate 2 weeks before the birth. And here, we, as well, points out Shmuel, we follow Rabbi Yossi's position. Kiddush was the case in regards to Klayim of Kiddush Disnan, as we learned in the Mishnah. Hamasachi gafno agabi tfoso shel chaver. If a person hangs his vine and it is hanging over his friend's wheat, so the halacha is that if it would be my own vine and my own wheat, when I hang a vine over wheat, that's already considered Klayim. However, over here, it's interesting. Here, I hung my vine over my friend's wheat. Nevertheless, even though it's my friend's wheat, I raise a kiddush v'chai b'achriyusa divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the position that it makes my friend's wheat aser, and I have to pay him back. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, continuing on to pay gimel on the base, ein adam eser davar shein shaloi. He cannot make his friend's wheat aser. And here as well, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, our Gemara goes back to the topic of androgynous. Iboilu, androgynous ma, liyomer Shmuel. What would Shmuel say in regards to the question of androgynous? Do we follow the position of Rabbi Yossi, like Rav had suggested, or not? It wasn't clear. The list before Shmuel did not mention if androgynous. We also follow Rabbi Yossi. Tashmah namer Shmuel, the Rav. Shmuel argued to Rav Anan, Leisa leBraisa Mekmemes Nisan, that why is it that you don't push away the Braisa due to the Mishnah? So we see in that quote that when Shmuel says to Rav Anan that you should push away the Braisa due to the Mishnah, that he's following the psak of Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, the androgynous is considered a full zachar. Harkava mali. What in regards to harkava? What would we say, Amar Shmuel? What is it that Shmuel's position is going to be in terms of the amount of time that one needs to wait before Shemitah? Tashma d'amrei Shmuel l'Ravana, Tani k'man d'amrei shloshim v'shloshim. Paskin, but you need 3 days and 30 days, not like Rabbi Yossi who said that you need 2 weeks and 30 days. So here Shmuel did not follow Rabbi Yossi. Koshi mali amar Rav. What did Rav say in regards to the issue of a woman who is giving birth, is in her late stage of pregnancy, and she sees blood? How much time do we attribute that to the difficulties of pregnancy? We have different opinions. We have Shmuel's sack that we follow Rabbi Yossi, but what's Rav going to say? Teku, we don't know. Kiddush, Mali Amar Rav. What did Rav say in regards to the psak of Kiddush, where Shmuel went like Rabbi Yossi, who said, Eina the most of Darshan Shalom, when you hang the grapes on top of the wheat? He did not follow the position of Rabbi Yossi. Abaye asked, how do you know that you rely on this statement of Rav Huna Amar Rav that we don't follow Rabbi Yossi? Maybe we should rely on someone else who said that in the name of Rav the exact opposite. Damar Avad Amar Rav, who's that other person? Rav Amar Rav said Halacha Rabbi Yossi in regards to Kiddush. Why did you choose one or the other? The Gemara answers that the reason why Rav Yosef said that we should follow this presentation, Ami Be Rav Manu Rav Huna, because whenever we say Amri Bei Rav, we refer to Rav Huna. And therefore, just like earlier we were quoting the Shita of Rav from Amri Bei Rav, so too over here we're going to quote the Shita from Amri Bei Rav, which is Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar Ein Halacha. And Rav Huna himself said the Halacha is not. So since Rav Huna said that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yossi, and our whole shaila is what is Ami Devei Rav, we follow the position of Rav Huna. We learned in our Mishnah, back into our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tumtum Shnikra V'Nimtza Zachar, Lo Yachlos Apneshu Kisaris. If a Tumtum, who is someone whose simanim are covered, it's not clear whether he's a Zachar or Nekeva, and then ultimately the cover is ripped and it's seen that he's a Zachar, so the halacha is that he should not do chalitza because he's considered a sris. Amar Rabbi Yami, my avid le Rabbi Yehuda Tumtum, Deviri. What's Rabbi Yehuda going to say about the tumtum of the story in Deviri? That Abba put him on top. They put him, on top of a chair, and the cover was revealed. And he had seven children. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he's a normal zachar? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that he cannot do chalitza? Answers the Gemara: Rabbi Yehuda Amar lo, chazer al banav me'ayin heim. That maybe he really, these children weren't from him. Maybe his wife was Mizana, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe that the tumtum is capable of having children. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi tumtum lo yachlo shem yikar v'nim tzasris. Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yehuda says, the reason why tumtum can't do chalitza is because it might turn out that he's a sris, and particularly a sris chama, that we learned earlier that he's born this way, that his chalitza is not a valid chalitza. On the other hand, the tumtum is not a sris vadai, because he considers this only a suffix risk. So we see that a tumtum is not considered a sris vadai. So that's a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that he's considered a suffix risk. Asks the Gemara to call the mikra zachar have. Why is Rabbi Yehuda choshesh that he's going to become a sris chama? Well, he should be choshesh that he might come to be a female. Achikamer, Shemi Yikar v'nimtza nekeva. Number one, maybe he's going to turn out to be the keva. Fafil nimtza zachar, Shemi yitza sris chama. It's a double suffix. My benayu, what's an afkmi to do these two explanations? Either there's a chshash that he is going to be a sris, or it's a chshash is going to be in the keva, or a sris. Amirava livso b'makom achin. The shaila is, if there are other brothers, if he makes the other brothers possible from doing Yibum. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's only a chash of Shema, so then in such a case, then he besafek is Aser, as well as the brothers are Aser as well, if he's not a Sris, and then he needs to do Chalitza. If then he does chalitza, then the brothers are going to be aser. However, according to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who says it's considered sris vadai, so then in such a case, he doesn't need to do chalitza, then the other brothers can do yibum. Period. Amarav, Abba Achur, the Rabbi Yehuda Barzav, the Amarav, Yehuda Amarav, Androgynous, Chayiv, and Olav Skila, Mishtei Mikomos. If Androgynous is Mizana, if he's Mizana with a woman, then he's Chayiv Skila. If he's Mizana with a man, he's Chayiv Skila. Why? Because it's considered both Zachar and Akeva. That's what we learned earlier on Pegim Lamed Alf. May Siva have the following Kashra Blas, or I'm Androgynous, Chayiv Skila, Kizachar. Rabbi Lezer says only a zachar. Bemet var mur bezachar shelo. Avo benakfus shelo patur. We learned only if he's mezana as a zachar. But if he's mezana as an akeva with a zachar, that he's patur. So how could Rav say that androgynous is chayim mishtei mikomos? Answers the Gemara. The sheet of Rav is based on the following. Who the Amar Kaitan? He's following the following time. Sign Rabbi Simoi Amar androgynous chayim skil mishtei mikomos. That Rabbi Simoi holds androgynous is considered both a zachar and a keva, and if he's mezan in either direction, he's going to be chayim skil. My time to Rabbi Simoi. What is Rabbi Simoi's logic? Amar Rava Bar Hamadure Asberli. Bar Hamadure explained it. It's based on the pasuk Vezachali Sishkad Mishkevei Isha. Mishkevei is Loshen Rabim. When you have a Zachar that has Mishkevei Rabim, the pasuk there is talking about homosexuality, but here, as Zachar lo sishkav mashkivei isha, speaks about him having two different shkivas. As El Zachar sheish bo shnei mishkavas, aviyomer ze androgynous, that according to Rabbi Simoi, an androgynous is considered that both a shkiva as a Zachar as well as a nekeva. For Rabbanan, afagat this bo shnei mishkavas, a Zachar ksiv, he's called a Zachar. For Rabbanan, Zachar greater min alu, how do we know that the androgynous is only considered a Zachar? May isha. Now, many change the gears over here, and they say it comes from the S. It doesn't mean the word Me'isha, but the S in that pasuk that we quoted before, Ve'es Zachar lo sishkav mishkevei isha. And that what it means is the S is coming to tell you every Zachar, and not only an androgynous. In other words, what the Gemara was asking was the following. According to the Rabbanan, how do we know that a regular Zachar is going to be Chayiv on Mishkav Zachar? So the Gemara says that we learn that out from the V'es. Isha Shaloki Darkam and Alu. How do we know when it comes to Mishkav Isha? And that is that if there is relations that's usher with an Isha, even though the Bias Kedo Kedarka, how do we know that that's Chai? Mi Vi Isha. Since the Pasuk over here says, so Mishkav Isha, we learn out that there's also Mishkav Isha plural as well, that the Isha will be chayiv on Bia Kedarka as well as Bia Shalok Kedarka. Ezra Hashem, it's Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayigash. We're going to stop over here. We've been zochet to learn Daf Pei Gimel together, and this Ezra Hashem concludes Daf Pei Gimel in Maseches Yevamos.